Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion. It's great to be together. It's great to pause and spend some time in God's Word, see what He has to say to us for another day. Well, if you've got your Bibles with you, we'll be turning to 1 John in a second. If it's your first time tuning in, we've been working our way through John's epistle. My computer's running a little bit slow today. I'm not sure why, one of those things. So if it's a bit choppy for you, my apologies, but that's all right. We're not really here to see me. We're here to hear about the Bible anyway. But before we turn to it, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to turn to your word. And we pray that as we turn to consider the Antichrist, that you would give us much wisdom and understanding. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, as I say, we're going to be thinking about the Antichrist today. So if you've got your Bibles there, turn with me to 1 John. And we'll be reading from verse 18 through to 27. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true, and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. Well, obviously there's a heap in there, isn't there? There's a lot of different stuff that we could open up, that we could interact with. But really what I wanted us to just talk about is Antichrist. You know, if we had $100 for every prediction of who the Antichrist was throughout the last 2,000 years, we'd be very rich, wouldn't we? I mean, if you just think about how much fuss has been made about the Antichrist in the last couple of hundred years, it's kind of ridiculous almost. You know, every next American president is the Antichrist. Every UN decision is something to do with the Antichrist. And if you watch the wrong TV channel, you're going to know all about the Antichrist. It's kind of a bit crazy. And yet, John talks about Antichrist. And so I want us just to very briefly think about what John has to say about him, or her, or it, or whatever you want to call it. So what does John tell us about the Antichrist? Firstly, he tells us that the Antichrist is coming. Have a look at verse 18. It is the last hour, and as you have heard, that Antichrist is coming. So now many Antichrists have come. Therefore we know that it is the last hour. So the first thing he says is that he's going to come, and many have come. And so I guess the immediate thought that causes for us is John thinking of a really specific individual person? Is he prophesying of a specific person that's coming? Is he rather thinking about people in general of this type? And I think that's probably the best way of understanding it. And the reason I say that is that he also says that there's many, and he also describes not just the fact that he's coming, but the type of action that this Antichrist figure does. So have a look at verse 22. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. So what is iconic about the Antichrist? What's iconic is the fact that he denies Jesus. He denies Jesus' deity. He denies Jesus Christ and the Father being one. In other words, he denies the Trinity in various different ways. And really, I mean, logically, the Antichrist, being someone who's opposed to Christ or the opposite of Christ, is obviously someone that's going to deny Christ. Now, it's interesting. Last night, I was having a conversation with someone about this type of a reality, about the fact that, well, they had been exposed to someone who was claiming to know who Jesus was. And yet what the person was describing was someone that was the complete opposite of Jesus. And this person who was claiming to know Jesus described the Antichrist as being someone who sounded a whole lot like Jesus. You sort of think to yourself, well, that's a bit odd. Well, it's because the Antichrist's goal, his work, his mission, for lack of a better word, is to convince everyone that he is Jesus. Not Jesus specifically, but he is the Christ. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. And that's the work of the devil, isn't it? And so it makes sense that this person who would come on behalf of the devil to convince people away from Christ would claim to be the Christ. And of course, Jesus also predicts this, doesn't he? He says that many will come in my name claiming to be from me and will lead you away, will seek to lead you away from the truth. And so this Antichrist, the key characterizing factor, the thing that will make it most apparent that this is an Antichrist, is that he will try and deceive people away from the real Jesus. And he will deny real things about Christ. And he'll do that by deceiving, won't he? Have a look at 26. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. And so he's probably thinking here of the Antichrist type figure, but also the false teachers who are seeking to deceive the true believers away from Christ. Now, therefore, if you think about that, therefore, who is the Antichrist? Well, I don't think John is, well, he may have been thinking of a particular person coming up, but I don't think he's only, like, if he is thinking of a specific person, he's not only thinking of a specific person. There's not one specific Antichrist that we're looking for, which is how it's often said, isn't it? Oh, this is the Antichrist and it's the sign of the end times. No, John is warning us of people who will be Antichrist. He's warning us of Antichrists who will oppose Christ. And that makes a lot of sense because he uses the phrase in verse 18, it is the last hour. And this is a phrase used quite often throughout the New Testament. And John uses it a lot in his gospel and in his letters and in Revelation. And very often it's used to talk about the time between the leaving of Christ, the first leaving of Christ, and the returning of Christ. So the ascension of Christ and the return of Christ, the period of the New Testament church. And so what John's saying is, while the church exists, many antichrists have come and many, many antichrists will keep coming. Many will rise up, won't they? And we've seen this throughout history. Time and time and time again, people have risen up and said, Jesus isn't real. That's not the real Jesus. I'm Jesus. That's happened. And so the Westminster divines could call the Pope the Antichrist. They were clearly not saying that particular Pope at that particular time is the actual Antichrist, the one and only Antichrist. But rather, I think it would be best to understand that statement as meaning he was a type of Antichrist because he would lead people away from the true Messiah. And so this Antichrist, this figure that John's thinking of, is someone that would oppose Christ and would lead people away from Christ. Well, if that's the case, if John's not thinking of one specific person, because if he was, then maybe he's gone and we don't have to worry about him. But since he's not thinking of a specific person, but he's thinking of people who would fulfill this type of role, why does he tell us? Well, he tells us to prepare and warn us, doesn't he? It's one of John's big endeavors in 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John is to ensure that the Church of Jesus Christ remains faithful and abides in him. Remember in John, he talks about abiding in Christ. Well, he's striving in these letters to make sure the church abides in Christ. And so as these false teachers come, as these antichrists come and seek to persuade the church away from Christ, John writes to oppose that and to draw the people back to Christ again. And so he's warning them of the people that will come, and he's preparing them to act appropriately. So how do we act appropriately? How do we respond to antichrists? What should we do? How do we oppose those who oppose Christ? What sort of a behavior would John have us have? Well, verse 21, I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. So we have the truth. So what should we do if we have the truth? Well, we hold it, don't we? We hold on to it. We hold firm to the truth. And so when someone comes to our churches, or when someone comes to our homes or to ourselves over a cup of coffee, and they seek to teach us, or they seek to warn us, or they seek to tell us something, what should we do? Well, we should compare it, shouldn't we? We should hold it up to the truth that we have. We've received the truth in the Word of God through the preaching of the gospel. We've received that truth. And so we hold up what people are saying next to the Word of God. We act like the Bereans. You remember the Bereans? They would search diligently through the Word of God and compare what the apostles are saying to see if it lines up with the Scriptures. And so we do likewise, and we hold firm to the truth. But we also confess the truth. Verse 23, no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father. See, there's two juxtapositions. If you deny the Son, you don't have the Father. But if you confess the Son, you have the Father. In other words, we hold on to the truth concerning Jesus Christ, but we also confess it. So the holding on of truth is not just this individual, personal, quiet reality in myself, but it's something that comes out of me to other people. And so we speak truth to one another, don't we? And we speak truth to those who seek to oppose us. It's one of the marks of the church, persecuted church, is they speak boldly the Word of God in the face of great opposition. But then lastly, we abide in the church, in the truth. Verse 27. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you. That anointing is the Holy Spirit. And you have no need that anyone should teach you, because you have the Holy Spirit. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true, and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. We've received the truth, so we hold on to it. We've received the truth, we hold on to it, so we profess it. We've received the truth, we hold on to it, we profess it, and we abide in it. We remain in it. We make it the context of our life. And so everything we do, everything we say, everything we believe, everything we think should be shaped and formed by the truth. That's what it means to abide, really. It's more than just remaining. It's more than just staying. But it's really having your whole life context by that truth, shaped by that truth. And you see, the reason this is so important is that when we do that, when we run into falsehood, little alarm bells start ringing out in our head. I wonder if you've ever had this, where you're listening to something, maybe on the radio, on a Christian radio station, or maybe from a preacher, or maybe you're reading a book and you think to yourself, this doesn't sound right. And maybe you couldn't say why, but there's something saying inside of your head and inside of your heart, there's something not right about this. And maybe you found a friend and you said, oh, so-and-so said this, and it just didn't sit right with me. And they said to you, ah, That's because it's not. Let me show you. And they point to the word of God. Because you see that abiding in the truth has shaped your conscience and your thoughts and your thinking. So it safeguards you. So the biggest takeaway from the Antichrist, from John's perspective, is not to seek to work out who the Antichrist is. You know, it's so funny. It's like, who's the Antichrist? We're going to spend all our time working out who the Antichrist is. No, John's point is there's going to be people that oppose Christ, so make sure you're firm in the truth. And of course, how do we do that? By taking every opportunity to soak ourselves in the Word through devotions like this, through our own personal Bible study, through Bible studies, through church, and taking every opportunity, rather than wasting our time on trivialities, taking the time to soak ourselves in God's Word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your Word, which keeps us safe. And we pray, Lord, that as many arise and seek to oppose your truth, that you would help us to maintain a steadfast walk of right belief. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for tuning in with me again. It was great to be together. I hope you have a blessed evening and afternoon, or whatever time it is, morning, depending when you're watching this. And I look forward to seeing you again tomorrow afternoon, same time, same place. God bless.